This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.
Hello friends, welcome to Inside Commodity Futures for today, April 5th. My name is John Payne of This Week in Grain. I'll be joined shortly by Craig Turner of Turner Stake, both of us senior market analysts here at Daniels Trading in Chicago. Thanks for joining us today, everybody. We were out last week. Craig was on vacation. And in his stead, we had a USDA report that brought about a big corn surprise we're going to talk about today, as well as get into the soybeans, the wheat, kind of the price action that's shaken out of it over the last three trading sessions. So Craig, thanks for joining me today. You left last week. We were thinking 90 million corn acres, and you come back. We got 93.6. What was your initial thought when you saw that number?
Well, I was on the beach with my kids with a pina colada in one hand and my cell phone in the other, and my jaw dropped. I couldn't believe we were at 93.6. Yeah. I was surprised, and we saw what corn was immediately down, what, 10 or 15 cents, I think, you know, from the best I could tell.
We saw a pretty good flush on corn, instantly moved from, I think we were right around the 385 level when the report came out, and I think we traded instantly down to 375, and by the close, we were at 365.
Yeah, so that was a big shock. I know a lot of people have been talking about more corn acres, just because, when you do the math and cost per acre, basically farmers were thinking about chasing yield, and the more, if you can bump up your corn yield, which has more of a variable, like there's more of an upside on corn yield than there is on soybean or wheat yield. So if you have a really good crop, when you put in the cost per acre, there's an incentive to plant more corn acres. And that's what we saw. Instead of having 90 million acres, we added basically 3 to 93.6, and we shaved off about a half million acres from beans. And then, there's quite a few acres, million acres came off, I think, of wheat, like 1 or 2 million acres.
The third lowest wheat crop. We'll get into these headlines here in a sec, but really the third lowest wheat crop in since 1919. Lowest acreage total for winter wheat since 1970. So we kind of hit that level where a lot of the fringe guys are moving on.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. So the fringe acres are, basically from wheat to corn and some beans to corn, but mostly you probably, it depends how you do the accounting. But the thing is, what's interesting about this, when you add basically 3 million acres of corn, to the mix at, let's say, a trend on yield of around 168, you're basically adding almost 600 million bushels to the carryout. So instead of having a carryout projected next year of around 1.8, 1.9, maybe even 2 billion, when we start doing the calculations for how much corn we could produce and use next year and what the ending stocks are for new crop, and we'll publish this later after the podcast, but I'm coming up with about 2.6 billion bushels for ending stocks, which, if the dollar stays where it is, you can, and crude stays around the same neighborhood, you can start making an argument for $3 corn and maybe even lower, at that kind of production level.
Yeah. Couple of us on the desk, the number is bearish for a number of factors, but for me, the takeaway really is that your lower prices aren't curing low prices yet. Usually you could see a low price number come in, you get a market like wheat, for example, they're not planting wheat. Well, we're 20 cents lower essentially at this point, or February point, when the decisions are made, January time frame, than we were a year ago, and we have almost 3 million acres more than we did a year ago. Mm-hmm. I think that for me is a huge sign to the market that
things aren't slowing down if we get into the low threes cash-wise. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to need to go further to try to get the tap shut off, and that is really where we'll continue to talk as we go throughout this year, even if the weather rallies. And quickly, I'll say this podcast will be best consumed if you're watching, if you're looking at either my newsletter or Turner's Take, and you can see these numbers, because you'll be able to see them in clear day. But basically, we're going to double the carryout from where it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and stocks to use really isn't going to fall much, or isn't going to get any help, because demand, we're seeing it fall as prices fall. So it's a bearish number. I think the only bullish part about it was that we weren't limited down. That was my takeaway.
Yeah, I think that was nice to see. I think what's, with as far as the table goes that we're talking about now, if you go to the show notes in the podcast, there'll be a link to bring it up, or you can look at it on my newsletter, John. So there'll be a lot of places to see it. But when you look at this table, to see stock to use getting close to 20% on corn, I don't know when the last time we were there. We were at 20%. Maybe, back in 2005, 2006, we were at a stock to. Okay, here we go. 2004, 2005, we were at 19.9% stock to use, and the average price was $2. Now, that's,
hold your ears on that.
Now, I don't think we're going out of $2. Crude oil is probably trading. Well, who knows where crude oil is trading back then? We'd have to take a look.
Probably right around here.
Yeah, probably right around here. And but the dollar would have been the dollar might have been around here too. That would be something to look at.
Yeah,
that'd be an interesting next podcast. We should probably take a look at that. Where was crude and where was the dollar back in 2004, 2005?
Sure.
We had that huge carryout. But so that's discouraging. I think we're not limit down just because we're just down so much. Like, if we had missed 3 million acres the other way, like instead of it, the market was looking for 90 and we got 87, mm-hmm. that could have been limit up. Because then we go from a 2 billion carryout to 1.4, 1.3, and now you're talking about 450 corn again. So, so I think, the bias has been down, the funds have been short. And if you look on the charts, one of the things, I kind of think is a little bit of a positive for corn is that, you look at a 10 or a 15-year chart, we really are getting down towards, the lower parts of these ranges on grains. But, it was bearish for corn. And you can make the argument that number was a little bit bullish for beans because we did take away some of the acres. But still, when you plug in, 82.7 planted acres, and let's say you shave off a million acres for harvested, and you use like a 46.5 yield, which is just a little bit below trend line.
Right.
We're still at 550 carryout for the new crop. And that's even upping crush and exports, adding to it from this year on the demand side, which might be optimistic. And, and all of a sudden you can make the argument for sub-8 beans. So unless we get weather issues, we could be trading 295 corn and, 790 beans, or something like that. Now that wouldn't happen till the end of the year. And we would also need great, growing and the acres to come in where they think and the yield to come in, think, which, obviously a lot of things can happen between now and then. But that's the downside risk.
Sure.
That is the downside risk.
Yeah, and then plus the fact that we're below the cost of production, there's really no incentive to do a lot of selling down at these levels. Mm-hmm. If you've got revenue insurance, and a lot of guys that are in the main part of the corn belt, they take the 80, 85% revenue insurance. Well, that puts essentially a revenue floor of around 320, 315.
Mm-hmm.
So, the funds, the ones that maybe you could really move the market down hard, are pretty much in it, and I don't think they're looking to really gamble at this point in the year based off of, a big crop number, but the stocks number was pretty much neutral. So we don't have a lot more corn on hand now.
No.
It's kind of like that bet that we're going to grow it. So if you're really confident that the weather's going to be good, that we're going to have like you have in here, a 168 yield, if you just said, okay, fast forward me to the end of the year, I would say, of course, that we need to sell this market.
But what if we have a 159 yield? If we have 159 yield, we're back to under 2 billion carryout.
Right.
And then all of a sudden we're talking about high threes again. So
sure.
A lot can happen.
Right.
A lot.
I mean, but the one bearish part about it, and I'm not, this is good. I mean, in a way, you could probably use me as a contrarian. My attitude is so bearish now that you could maybe say a lot of this is baked in. If we do a 159 yield,
you're looking at basically the same production numbers if we did 165 with the acreage we thought we were going to do on Wednesday of last week.
Yeah,
that's
true.
So, you know, that's the one thing. I think these weather rallies, yes, it's going to decide it, but we have a lot more slack now.
No.
And the one thing I see is if we have another poor year, let's say we keep the carryout at 1.9, you're still getting another 92, 91 million next year probably.
Right.
Don't you think?
So I think it's a two-year process in terms of, you know, you said earlier low prices, you know, help solve low prices, cure low prices. I think what we would need, you know, for that to come true is basically a bumper crop this year, send prices below 3, and then what you, and beans sub 8, and then what you probably really do see is a reduction of acres.
Right.
Just because there wouldn't be the financing involved, or people do prevent plant, or they just do cover crops. You know, you would probably see the big reduction in acres at that point.
What do you think it does to world acreage? Does it matter here? I mean, does the U.S. corn price, do you think that affects these guys down in Argentina?
I think the problem is that the dollar is so strong. If the dollar were weaker, you know, then we get more export business, but we don't. So we're losing out. So that, I think if the dollar were weaker, we'd be in a lot better position. But if the dollar stays this strong, then really what happens is like the world has a glut of corn, wheat, and soy and oil seeds right now.
Right.
And so what happens is the high priced, you know, the higher priced competition gets squeezed first and loses acres first. And right now, the U.S. looks to be the highest priced, even with all the efficiencies we have, because, you know, United States does have, you know, better, more efficiencies and higher yields than a lot of other producers out there. But with prices this low and the strong dollar, it doesn't help that much. So I think, you know, if we do get a rally and if you look at the trend in the dollar, you know, maybe the tide finally is turning, you know, and if crude oil, you know, is really bottoming here and all of a sudden, you know, 30s, 40s and 50s are more likely than, you know, 20s and 30s, and then all of a sudden you can make these longer term cases. I just think it's going to be a 2-year story in corn and beans. If we get the big crops this year again, I just think, you know, you're going to have to kind of grin and bear it this year. Next year you see less acres and you start to see a turnaround. But if we have weather problems, like you said, I think you're right. I think, you know, we stay in these levels where, you know, guys can still operate and survive for another year, and that we'll just see, you know, the same acreage next year.
Well, so we've kind of talked about corn ending stocks now, you know, we'll call it 20% at least. We'll find out a little more Tuesday of next week. So we'll have the WASDE report. Craig and I will come back after that one. We'll recap for you. Don't think it'll be a huge surprise there. If anything, maybe bullish if they would, maybe chalk up some demand somewhere. We are seeing livestock numbers increase, so feed should be pretty constant. And ethanol grind has been high. And if you look at where ethanol is trading, it's doing pretty well. It's an export market right now for the U.S. So those all things are bullish. But I just don't see where we're going to see these exports increase. And that's what it's going to take. And we might need to see prices go down another 30, 40 cents to try to drum up that kind of business. And even then, at that point, where is it coming from?
Yeah. And one thing I like to look at, too, is when you look at the supply and demand tables and, you know, based on the productions, it also gives you an idea of how much weather premium is already built into these markets. Like, you can make an argument that November soybeans, you know, trading around 920, already has over $1.20, you know, of weather premium already built into it. You know, with these corn trading at 370, you can make the case that, you know, December corn has already 50 cents already of weather premium built into it. So it's, you know, and I know there's part of the, you know, the carry too that works against it over the course of the year. But, you know, it's just, it's something to be mindful of. I know sometimes I talk to farmers and they say, well, you know, why make any sales here if it's below cost production, or why put on any hedges? But the thing is, like, that's making the assumption you're going to hold on to it forever. You know, and if you're not, then, you know, if you are going to sell it, I mean, it's better to sometimes at least to make some kind of sales around here, just because if we do go another down a dollar or 50 cents, at least part of that right now, it's just price risk. I wouldn't
sure.
think so much of about it as cost reduction, because, you know, a 10 cent loss there's a huge difference between a 10 cent loss and a 50 cent loss.
Sure.
I know there's a big psychology part of that, and some of the conversations I've been having since I, you know, got back in the office yesterday morning have been kind of centered around that, you know. And, you know, I think what a lot of farmers have been electing to do or thinking more seriously about now is, you know, kind of looking for put strategies. And they don't want to sell the futures and lock in a loser, but they are concerned about, you know, another 50 cents or a dollar down. So what I've been seeing more of, and I don't know if you agree, is more of a put, just kind of like more of, you know, cheap puts, because it's not like the, especially corn puts really aren't that expensive compared to years past.
Sure. Yeah, everybody's set up for different things, so we're not recommending anybody do anything about talking to somebody first. But, you know, you look at what you can protect. There's, if you're insured down at 380 on everything or 320, you know, a cheap put spread might be a good idea. I think with the way the market's structured right now, I'd be hesitant to do too much call selling. I think, you know, you want to be wrong. I'd rather be wrong with a put than be wrong with short an option on the upside, especially in a market like this, because really – you've got to keep leaning on this big acreage number. And when the weather rallies come, and Craig, you and I know they're going to come, and we're going to be reading into them, and you and I will probably be buying into them at some point. You know, you talk to these farmers enough, they dupe me. They've done it the last 3 years where, you know, you think the yield's going to be 155 nationwide. Shoot, maybe even less than that. You don't know what's going to happen. Southern acreages are really wet right now. They could shift late. I would be very hesitant to do too much aggressive selling here outside of the puts. The put side of it, just because you want to be moving on those rallies.
Exactly.
And if you have storage, this is where you got to start looking out at the curve. Get your mind off that beast price and start looking at May of next year. I mean, it's almost 390.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can afford to get by without a lot of cash flow up until the spring of next year, you know, you'll get using that carry. You're the spread guy. You're looking at these spreads right now where we went from when the report came out, D16 over D17 was at 6 cents.
Mm-hmm.
It's at 17 now.
Yep.
The difference between D16 and March is almost at a dime.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big spread. That basically means, to my opinion, that the market doesn't feel the need to bid up right now, which means that the carry might be your best friend. So need help using that, feel free to give us a call.
That's a really good point, John. No, that's a really good point there. And also, too, just to talk about, you know, selling calls this early on new crop anyways, you know, what if you get a weather event? I mean, really, what if you get a drought or, you know, or hot temperatures? I mean, it's easier to reverse futures. You know, if you have the cash or you're growing it and maybe you're short, you know, some futures and all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, you know, the weather just changed and it's going to be hot and dry for months. You know, it's easy just to get out and, you know, but with the options, even though in theory you can always buy them back, it just never seems to go that way. It's, you know, it always seems to kind of press your luck. And, you know, also, you know, sometimes the options can be, sometimes those options are being used to pay for puts. And and that makes things difficult. You know, do you unwind the whole thing or you're just buying back the call? So, I agree with you on that. You know, I don't mind. I mean, I guess corn, old crop corn premium is so low. You know, I don't see the point in selling calls right now. I don't know. I mean, it's, I don't know, maybe sometimes guys do covered calls on beans in old crop, but, not a lot of people I talk to don't have beans anymore. You know, they're just really just sitting on corn.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we'll leave it with one bullish point, I think, and that would be open interest, corn open interest sitting just above 10-year lows. So the market knows this story that we're all talking about here. Craig and I aren't breaking any news, and I don't think you're going to see a lot of guys jump short the market here off of this number anymore because, like I said, I thought we would have been limited if that was the case. And then you look at wheat. Wheat is a 15-year low as far as the amount of specs that are short the market right now. Mm-hmm. So I'd be very careful here. Mm-hmm. We know the story. I think eventually we'll end up lower, but the dance is what makes it interesting. And you know, we could be thinking we're doing 145 in mid-July, and then you and I are doing the math in a completely different environment.
Yeah, I think for corn right now, there's more risk to the upside.
Yeah.
After that number and the fact that we're still getting into planting. You know, it's not like the planting isn't even done yet. Yeah, you know, it won't be done. You know, and so we for another month or so. So we've got all this time for for the corn market, and then we've got the summer. So considering how low prices are now, you know, if you're on the spec side, you'd probably be maybe looking spots for maybe kind of looking for short term bottoms to pick off. You know, and look for rallies. While if you're on more of the hedge side, you're probably waiting for a rally here, some kind of weather rally to sell into.
So going forward here, we've got the report next week. So it'll be Tuesday of next week. And then we've got planting. So on these Monday evenings, if you check in with my newsletter This Week in Grain, Craig will be talking about it as well as his weeklies come out. We'll get the planted acreage story. Folks, southern part of the Corn Belt should be starting to roll here. I think the 5th is southern Illinois. So anybody south of like 70, I-70 should be able to plant. Now it's really cold here still, so I don't think we're going to be seeing wheels turn yet. And then in this area, it'd be the 15th. So as we get into next year or next couple of weeks, I think the story shifts to more what's happening rather than looking at what's going to happen as far as acreage goes. And then on the soybean side, I would be looking at the pace of exports. This is typically when you see the highs for exports being made in South America, and I think those exports have been so strong that the market's been apt to bid itself up. But we're going to hear from CONAB, the Brazilian USDA, next week, and they'll talk about what we think will be a higher acreage number for, or a higher production number, rather, for soybeans, and then we'll get the USDA's take right after. So for beans, we're at a 2-6 ratio on new crop beans and new crop corn. Probably advocates selling beans more than corn. Not saying it can't go further, but that's what I'm looking at, Craig. Anything you got your eyes on for next week?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that that bean versus corn ratio, you know, where the beans, you know, new crop beans are now trading about 2.5 to 2.6 times over corn, depending on where the prices are and where we're trading. Normal is about 2.3. A lot of guys were kind of making the argument, you know, do we now, between now and the final planting report, which I think is the end of, is it the end of May is the final planting report, or is it in June?
I think it's the June 1st stocks number.
Yeah, that's right. So it comes out with the June reports.
Right.
And, there is now an argument to say that you'll see, you know, maybe you see some switching from from corn to beans. And then, you know, and that price ratio you bring up then all of a sudden makes it a spec play, you know, as if we do see now some makers shift, you know, from corn to beans. So we'll see if that happens. That's definitely something I keep an eye on. I know seasonally some bull spreads come up in soybeans this year, but I don't know how sold I am on those. You know, not just because it's a seasonal doesn't mean it's going to work.
Sure.
You know, and this year just seems particularly bearish, you know, for the grains. I mean, usually when those seasonals work for the oil seeds, it's because there's either some tightness in South America, or there's weather issues with planting here, or there's logistical issues, or there's tight stocks. And we don't have any of those issues, you know, for the setup this year. So I don't love those as much. What is going to be interesting, though, is, you know, and this is something we talk about every year in our newsletters, is CEPDES corn. I think you said before.
What's that at now?
CEPDES corn, last I checked, was around 7 cents. And okay. The thing is, like, about a 7 cent carry. But if we can get up to a 5 cent carry, or even go to even money, which would be a big ask this year, that has always raised the attention of seasonal spread traders. So that's
sure.
That's something we'll watch. We're coming into that zone soon, towards the end of April. And that's, you know, that, you know, if you want to know more about what we think of, you know, that and how we follow it, you know, I'll be talking about in Turner's Take. I'm sure John will mention it too in his newsletter.
Yeah. Well, Craig, thanks for joining me today. Sorry we're so bearish, everybody. We'll try to keep it rosy. Maybe the USDA will give us something a little better to talk about next week. We'll join you after the USDA report on, again, Tuesday next week. If you need anything in the meantime, feel free to contact Craig or myself on our desks here at Daniels Trading. Thanks again for listening. Craig, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you very much. Talk to you next week.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation termination or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.